Whenever you have what? Can you hear you?
Two lines,
yeah.
Always make a meter?
Well, most of the time you don't, because there are a lot of conditions. So, for example, if you're the Bala Bayis and you had the wine in the house, even if it was not on the table, you do not make a Tovah Meitiv. So really, when you make it is when a guest, you know, brings your wine that you didn't know about till after you made Kiddush. Right? So most of the Bederach Kalla, you almost don't make it.
The Bala Bayis knew about it, but the guest did not?
So then you don't make a Tovah Meitiv, because the guest das is on whatever the Bala Bayis brings in.
I just saw a wine that said on it, the minhag is custom to make the blessing of Tovah Meitiv when drinking this wine.
Well, first of all, if that was the wine you made Kiddush on, then, I mean, you never make a Tovah Meitiv on the first wine.
Right.
So, I mean, that's a b'chlal, that's a misleading thing. I guess what they must mean is that it is better than any other wine you would have. So if you make Kiddush in any other wine, but even then, as I said, there are a lot of svaros if you don't make it so far. Okay.
Let's keep
when this goes on until Rosh Chodesh Nisan? Okay. So Chav Zayin, someone asked me about giving another share Monday night, 27th of Adar Sheni. So there's still... we're still on that way?
Yeah.
Until Rosh Chodesh month.
I think our last time Jacob came is that a lot of people are leaving.
Okay, but officially... okay, so I just wanted me to tell the guy if I'm not available. Okay. Okay, so we're going to go right through with this again. This is... these particular inyanim of Tzinius are really Pashat Ein Lem Soif, because there's really so many different diyunim on them. And as I say, it's what makes it a little shver is that it's so ma'uriv in Musar and Tashkofa and Minhag and exhortations, and a lot of the Piskei Halacha are not necessarily giving you the Ikar Adin, because sometimes Paiskim don't want to give you the Ikar Adin, because the Ikar Adin might cause a Pirtza, and therefore they'll give you things which are not the Ikar Adin. So it is surprisingly difficult to kind of analyze what is the minimum requirement of things. Now, Ein Hachinami, Lamaisa, a person shouldn't look for the minimum, Ein Hachinami. But still, it's a little difficult to be mechalik in this inyan between Hidorim and Hanhogos and the Ikar Adin. But be it as it may, the last thing we were looking at, the very end, we're going to talk about it a little bit, is a very famous and controversial psak of the Aruch HaShulchan, and that is the following. We know that in the din of Sar B'Isha Erva, so the Gemara in Brachos is not talking about the Isser of a married woman to go outside with uncovered hair. That's an Eben Ho'ezer Dika Halacha, and that is the Halacha of Iveres Aldas Moshe V'Yehudis, in which theoretically she could be divorced without a ksuba, right? That's a general halacha. But the Gemara in Brachos is referring to the Isser of Amiras Devarim Shebe Kedusha. And that is, if it is hair that is normally supposed to be covered, a married woman, so you're not allowed to be Kairi Kriyashma or say Brachos or learn Torah B'peh, in the presence, if you're looking in the direction of Sar Megula, and that is even, according to the halacha, your own wife, meaning... And even in the house, meaning even like the Matirim, like we discussed last week, that many Paiskim, Taisus, starting from Taisus, they matir a woman to uncover her hair in her house, in the presence of her husband, her parents, or her children. But even the Matirim, Medina de Gemara, would say that the Sar is a Davar Shebe Erva, Lagabe Amiras Devarim Shebe Kedusha. Right? This is the sugya in Brachas, right? So you have to be sure you understand the difference. The machlokes, can a woman have uncovered hair in the house, or a chaser, that is a machlokes stamazai in the Isser of Kisei, of the Chiv of Kisei Araish, or the Isser of Sar Megula. But Lagabe Devarim Shebe Kedusha, for Shteisach, there's no chiluk between the house and outside of the house, and no chiluk between a husband and anybody else. But the Aruch HaShulchan was Mechadesh the following Kula. The Aruch HaShulchan was Mechadesh. That what? That since Bavei Naseinu HaRabim, so many married women go around with Sar that's Megula, so Memela, the hair is no longer Ma'irer Hirhurim, and Vivalt, it's no longer Ma'irer Hirhurim, so it is permitted Bizman Hazah to daven and say brachos and dvarim shebe kedusha keneged the sar megula of a woman. Now, let me point out once again that the Aruch HaShulchan has a very good svara in the following way. You'll notice the peculiarity of the way the Ramah, the way the Ramah brings the law. The Ramah doesn't say sar shechayev l'chaseisei havi erva. He says sar shedarkan l'chaseisei havi erva. In other words, just because there's a chiyuv, that itself does not make the uncovered hair an erva. It is the fact that it's derech l'chaseisei. Now, a few things. It's obvious, and this I know you know, and I mentioned it last week as well, that the Aruch HaShulchan was 1,000%. The Aruch HaShulchan was 1,000% not mattering uncovered hair. Right? There are people who use the Aruch HaShulchan to say, you know, a woman doesn't have to cover her hair today. Avada not. In fact, the Aruch HaShulchan says, "Baba Nisenu Harabim, women are oiver on this halacha." So the Aruch HaShulchan was not maturing, but the Aruch HaShulchan was only saying that Lagabi Kriyashma and Brachais, it is not Meinea Amiras Devorim Shebikdusha. Now the Mishnah Berurah Bapashtas is Chaylik. The Mishnah Berurah Taka says that even if women are Prutzais and they don't cover their hair, it still has a din of Erva. And as I say, the Velt likes to say, although it may not be true, that this is why the Mishnah Berurah boycotted the Aruch HaShulchan because of this psak. But as I say, yeah, that's very, very speculative, especially since the Mishnah Berurah does not bring anyone that was alive in his story.
It seems to imply from the Aruch HaShulchan that if other things were to become the way, then you'd be allowed to say brachas in front of it.
Yeah. So that's the question. So the big question would be, let's take another halacha of tznius, right? Let's take a halacha of tznius that shaykh, whatever the shaykh means, right? There's a machlekes. Does shaykh mean the upper leg, or does shaykh mean the lower leg, etc.? Mishnah Berurah actually is makelir. Mishnah Berurah says shaykh bi isha erva is anything above the knee. So according to Mishnah Berurah, except mitam minad, a woman that has a skirt that goes below her knees, even when she sits down, does not have to have stockings. This is according to Mishnah Berurah. The Chazon Ish says we have to be machmir and be chayshesh that the shaykh is the lower leg as well. All right, but whatever it is, let's say
Chazon Ish, you need a skirt.
Yes, you would, because
a skirt, not stockings.
That's correct. From the Chazon Ish, you need a skirt.
That's so go all the way down to the feet.
That's correct. Now, the reason why we have stockings is ke'ena pshara, meaning to say that we follow essentially the Mishnah Berurah, but the minhag is to be chayshish for the other shita only lagabe having stockings.
Clear stockings.
Sheer tights were not.
So that's another. Again, avada. See, avada. Anything that is tight fitting. Certainly is not called a valid kisei. I mean, imagine if a woman has a skirt above it's a mini skirt, and she has stockings or tights. That's not going to be good. So whatever is an erva meikar hadin, you know, a stocking is not going to be valid. Elamai. So stockings really make no sense, right? Because according to the Chazon Ish, you would need the dress down to the ankle. And according to the Mishnah Berurah, if you're covered the knees, you don't need stockings. So mimanavshach, stockings make no sense, right? Stockings or tights make no sense at all. Elamai. So you're right, it's a good taina. Elamai. Meikir hadin. We paskin like the Mishnah Berurah that the definition of shaykh is only the knee and above, including the knee and above. But the minhag was to take an extra harchaka of tznius to have some type of covering for the lower leg. You're right, like the Chazon Ish, that type of covering would not be maspik. Now, what is stockings? What about sheer stocking? Okay, so that, all right, so if it's mamish sheer, if it looks like a bare leg, then that's garnished.
That is the minhag, so then why is it nothing?
The minig is that it should be shared, so I'm doing the minig.
Yeah, but okay, but that's not. Okay, but that's not. Again, that's okay. I mean, it goes in a circle a little bit. Meaning, that hasn't been defined as the minig. Now, how thick? Again, there are different. There are different teachings about this. I mean, obviously, we are fairly lenient. Even if something, you know, there are many. I mean, I'm not even a bucky in this. There are many madregas of shear. You can ask your wife. Many madregas of shear. And we don't require, you know, in Satmar L'mashal, and I'm sure in Tel Asar and other Hasidic communities, the stocking has to have a seam. It has to have a seam, mamish, like, you know. The velt is not noyeg that way at all. So, you know, even if it's pretty sheer, as long as it's not absolutely transparent. But the point I want to make is that a vada, that can only be mitaminah, because if you were machriya like the Chazinish, that it's an erva gomor, then stockings wouldn't help. All right, so now your shayla is a very good shayla. The shayla is like this. The Aruch HaShulchan seems to give a svara that when something is a widespread violation and it's so common in the street, it no longer is ma'arir hirurim, and therefore there's no iser of devarim shabikdusha. Now granted, he only said that by the uncovered hair of a married woman, but what's going to be about shaykh, right? Shaykh b'sherv also is the gamri parrots in the velt, right? So the question would be, would we monitor everything? I could daven against keneged a miniskirt, I can daven against uncovered arms, right? So the
pasha, yeah. Shaykh is intrinsically as an Arab.
Right.
Here,
we said
it's not intrinsic,
it's only the emes, I want to tell you this. The emes is that as radical as people think the Aruch HaShulchan was, there is in the Lechem Chamudas from the Taisus Yomtev a much more radical thought. The Taisus Yomtev, hundreds of years earlier, actually says the same svara of the Aruch HaShulchan, and he says it even by Shaykh Mamish. So the Taisus Yomtev was willing to even say it by Shaykh Mamish. But we have to say, again, as you said, so even though there is a makom to say what you, you know, that's for, that what you raised, but Lamaisa, the Paiskim B'zman HaZer Mechalek, and even the Mekilim say exactly what you said, and that is, they are Mechalek between something that's called an Etzem Erva, and something that's only an erva because of darkan lechasaisa, meaning like this: with hair, we reverse the cause and effect. By things like shaykh, we say because it's an erva, you have to cover it. With hair, it's the other way around: because you have to cover it, it becomes an erva. In other words, that's why we have that funny lashon sarge. In other words, you see, it's not an etzem erva haraya penuyais. Same beautiful hair. Pinuyas, there's no issue at all.
Isn't the Makar the Gemara the same Makar that says Shaykh Bisharva Sarbisharva? And then there's even a Derisa Smach for Sarbisharva. It doesn't have Derisa Smach.
No, but that's actually what Rav Moshe proves. Rav Moshe says that the Makar for Kisui Harish, this is a good horror. The Makar that a married woman has to cover her hair is a Yalfusa from Saita. That sins by a Saita, you uncover it. It was covered. Now, the makor for sarbi isha erva in Maseches Brachas is not. It's a different pasuk. Sareich ke'eder. The pasuk in Shir Hashirim. In other words, Ramesh says you see that the chi of itself is not garim. It's only the derech. So memela the taina is that if something is only an erva because of darka lechasaisan, so when it's not darka lechasaisan, it's not ma'irer. Now, the only question I have a question on the Aruch HaShulchan. I let him talk about that. They're not really miyashivit. And that is, the Aruch HaShulchan seems to say that since we're used to seeing uncovered hair of married women, memela is not ma'irer cheshek anymore, and therefore the Yisra of Amir is Dram Shabbat Kedusha, is because, you know, you're not supposed to daven or say brachos or even learn Torah b'peh when you have here hurim. So it's not garim hurim. Now lechayra, it would depend, because lechayra, let's talk about the other way around. Let's say your own wife, right? Your own wife covers her hair. So it would seem that maybe you could say the Aruch HaShulchan's heter should only be legabe looking at a woman who is a prutza, but legabe looking at a woman that's a tsnua, fakert. It should, in other words, is the Aruch HaShulchan only saying you could be kare kriyashma kenaged prusais, but you can't be kare kriyashma kenaged snuais? But then you get into a mud nazach, and the Chazanish talks about this. Well, how do you know who you? I mean, you're not supposed to be staring anyway. But how do you know? How do you know if the woman? I mean, what? I mean, the woman might be single. The woman might be a guy. The woman might be a prusa. You know, whatever it is. In other words, the Chazanish says the logic of saying that since she normally covers it up when it's uncovered, it's Mayur Taiva, only applies like if I know the woman and I normally see her with her hair covered, so then when it's uncovered, it's Ma'ira. But that has nothing to do with what you encounter in the streets. I mean, the Chazanish actually says as a Ha'ara, and he just says, Lo Chilku Chachamim Mekach. He's not Miyajim, he says, the logic is that hair should be an erva only for a woman that you know, and a woman that you normally see with covered hair, so when it's uncovered, it's Ma'ir Taiva. But a woman that you don't know, why would it be Ma'ir Taiva? It's not worse than a Pnuya. What's the difference? I mean, a Pnuya, you're telling me, is not Ma'ir Taiva. So why is a married woman Ma'ir Taiva? Only because, since I know it's supposed to be covered up, so Ma'ir is Ma'ir Taiva. But if I don't know the woman at all, what is it going to be Ma'ir?
You can't say that. It's not a chiddush if you see a woman with uncovered hair, a married woman, because there's a lot of married women with uncovered hair around. Like it's not a chiddush. That's what it means. It's a general level of sensitivity.
Even with respect to your own wife. Okay.
What's the big deal?
It's for sure, the Aruch HaShulchan is not mechalik. The Aruch HaShulchan seems to give you a blanket heter. In other words, he doesn't say if this particular woman, your wife, for example, normally covers her hair, would almost be chaytei nisker. I can read connected princess and not connected the tznuas. That we don't say. Okay. But it is aura. I mean, Chazanish basically says that the whole psychology of darka l'chasaisan doesn't make a lot of empirical sense, because the chiluk between dark and light would be relevant if I know a woman and I always see her covered, and then it's uncovered, it's ma'ira. If I don't know the woman, you know, my shna. But he says the chachamim made kind of a low plug in all of this. But be it as it may, even if he's no, he's not chiluk at all. Chazanish says you can't be chiluk. Well, he's chiluk on the Aruch HaShulchan. Yeah. But I'm saying yeah. But he concedes that there is a svara, which even the Aruch HaShulchan doesn't say, that the Isser of Sar for Drom Shem Kedusha would only be for a woman that you know, that you normally see covered. But he says, Lo Chilku Chachamim Bekach. Now, but the one thing for sure is that the Aruch HaShulchan himself did not matter Sheikh Magula these other things. It was only the special lumdus in hair. Mishnah Berurah seems to be chaylek. Most of the Paiskim in Eretz Yisrael are machmir on this, Rav Moshe does say that Meikir Hadin, we follow the Aruch HaShulchan, but he says a Ben Torah should be machmir. Again, let me remind you, Rav Moshe was the one that was Mekel, that your wife can have her hair uncovered in the house, right? Even when she's a Nida, Rav Moshe holds. But Lagabi Dvarim Shepe Kedusha, a Ben Torah L'chatchila should be machmir, but he does say the halacha is like the Aruch HaShulchan, right? That's important. So Rav Moshe does say to be machmir, but he says that's the hanhag of a Ben Torah to be machmir. But the din is like the Aruch HaShulchan.
So if you have a kiddush, you have a guest level who's non-religious, when you're uncovered, according to the question, you wouldn't have to turn away.
That's correct. By the way, it's Yadua that Rav Moshe had, Rav Moshe didn't blindly follow the Aruch HaShulchan, Rav Moshe was machri on his own, but it's Yadua, if you're Ragil in the Igros Moshe, that Rav Moshe has a great regard for the Aruch HaShulchan. And again, the Vel says, again, I'm not sure these things get passed around as a Torah Shabbat Peh shtickle, but the Vel says that Rav Moshe held that the Aruch HaShulchan was a bigger paisek than the Mishnah Berurah. Because he said the Aruch HaShulchan was a Rav, and the Mishnah Berurah was a Rosh Hashiva. Now, of course, Rav Moshe himself was a Rosh Hashiva, but he had been a Rav in Russia. And there is a concept in Halacha L'maisa Dikya Inyonim, the Rav has a greater authority, because the Rav is involved in seeing the hardships on people, the actual Maisim, as it were. And that's why Rabbanim are often knighted to be Mekel, but not because of Kalis Reish, but because they see... In fact, I'll give you an interesting example of this. course, Rav Moshe had been a Rav for many years in Russia, then he became a Rosh Hashiva. But be it as it may, you know, Kovna was, Slobodka, let me put it this way, was the suburb of Kovna, right? The great Slobodka Yeshiva was the suburb, but Kovna was the big city. And the Rav of Kovna, who died in the Holocaust, but not from the Holocaust, he died of cancer in the Holocaust, was a great Adam Gadol Mi'ayit, Rav Avram Shapira. He was the Mechaber of the Sefer Devar Avram. Have you heard of Devar Avram? Maybe because my Rosh Hashiva got smicha with Devar Avram, so in Eretz Yisrael, Devar Avram was a popular Sefer. I'm not sure. I don't see it's used that much here. But Devar Avram was the Chidushim of the last Rav of Kovna, Rav Avram Shapira. And he really was Mamish a Gadol. He was a Gadol Bahira. He was considered to be one of the leading, maybe the leading Rav in Lita. But the Elder of Slobodka didn't like Talmidim of the Yeshiva to hang around the Dvar of Ram too much, because he thought they would become too makel. Because the Dvar of Ram, because Kovna was a city, was a big city, had a lot of non-religious people, a lot of modern people, a lot of Zionists, a lot of communists, a lot of socialists. And the Dvar of Ram had to handle with a whole bunch of people to be makel here, in other words, and the like. And the Dvar of Ram said to the Alter of Slobodka, he says, you have a Maised that has 300 or 400. That's how small the yeshivas were. They weren't like Mir. No yeshiva in Europe was a fraction of the size of Mir here. But you have a maaseh of 300 or 400 people who are devoting their lives to Torah. I have a city of 20,000 people, half of whom are religious, half of whom are not religious, etc. And that's a totally different ballgame. I have to be able to be machria for people who are not necessarily living at the highest madrega. So, in some ways, the Dvar Avram had a hard time, because the Chiloni people thought he was too fanatical, and the Yeshivish population thought he was a kal, even though he was mamish a gadol b'teira, and the Alter actually didn't want guys to go there. But some people snuck away anyway. So Rav Moshe actually held that because of this, a Rav who is more involved in every aspect of a kehila has a greater kayach to be machriya lahalacha. And that is why, you know, people say the Aruch HaShulchan is always Mekel. He's not always Mekel. What the Aruch HaShulchan does is, the Aruch HaShulchan is a defender of Minhagim. Now, a lot of times Minhagim are Mekel, but there are times when a Minhag is Machmer, and he'll be Machmer, because he basically said that the Mishnah Berurah tried to be Machriya everything from Svarim. Right? The Mishnah Berurah goes through all of the Svarim, and didn't pay a lot of attention to Minhagim. And that's why they say, by the way, in the Chavetz Chaim's personal life, he sometimes did things that are connected to Mishnah Berurah, because Chavetz Chaim actually also followed Minhagim, but he held that in a Sefer Halacha, the Hachra should be through Makairis, it shouldn't be through Minhagim. And Hashem came, the Aruch HaShulchan was willing to be Machriya Halacha based on Minhagim. Again, the Gemara itself says, Hanach Lam LiYisrael, Im Ma'ein Nevi'im Heim, B'nei Nevi'im Heim. Okay. So this is the Aruch HaShulchan. As I say, most of the Paiskim in Eretz Yisrael, both are from Zalman and Rabbi Yashiv, they say not to follow the Aruch HaShulchan, to follow the Mishnah Berurah. Rav Moshe says, Mi'ikar Din, you could follow, although Yerush Ram should be Machmir. Then you have the Sri Deish, who says, the Chatchila, he says, it's a Svar Pshuta to go like the Aruch HaShulchan. He says, even the Yerush Shemayim doesn't have to worry about it. Okay. So that was the Aruch HaShulchan. Now, the next thing I want to talk about, again, very, very quickly, because these are huge halachas.
Can you say the chuppah, like the chuppah is a general bias, or no? Like, a lot of times, Sarek Dushin is facing, the kala doesn't have her hair covered, or the shvigar.
Well, the bias is not, one second. The issue of a bias is not relevant here, because if you either go with the Aruch HaShulchan or not, if you don't go with the Aruch HaShulchan, even in a bias, you can't say brachos, right? Right? In other words, remember, Devarim Shabikdusha, there's no chilti by that. Yeah, so, well, you either samech in the Aruch HaShulchan or you look in the Siddur. I mean, but the Eved, we say if you're looking in the Siddur or you're Eitzem Einayim, so that takes away everything, right? Now, at least with the Eved, the Chatchilo, your Machzer Panav, if that would cause a Chilul Hashem, so you have either Atzimah Seinayim or looking down at the Siddur. So the truth of the matter is, for all of these issues, there is usually a Pashat Eitza. The only place where you don't have a Pashat Eitza, and this is where the Chazon Ish was Mekel, is giving Shiurim. Now this is, again, a very important Hachra, that if I'm giving Shiurim to women who are not dressed B'tznias, And either, forget about the Aruch HaShulchan, it's not only a question of uncovered hair, it's also a question of lavush, of arms and legs. So here you have a real problem, because if I'm looking at them, I'm not allowed to say. If I close my eyes or turn away, it's Chilul Hashem. So here we have the Chazanish, who is a machmer in Hilchos Tzniut. Huh? It's Chilul Hashem, because if I'm talking to a non-religious girl and I make a point of talking with my face turned that way, yeah, it is Chilul Hashem. She will think I am crazy. She will think I am crazy and will normally not have anything to do. Anything to do.
How can I say Chilul Hashem if it's halacha? Meaning,
putting on
someone else
look
crazy,
I'm still going to put on film. Okay, so I hear what you're saying. Maybe you won't call it Chilul Hashem, but the point is that you may be compromising your ability to bring her to tshuvas. I mean, the Chazanish says that this is Eis Lasleis Lashem. That's what he says. He actually says, Eis Lasleis Lashem, a favor to Rasecha, that you should be Mechavin Lashem Shamayim. Not to be maharer be'erva, that's maybe a hard thing, but I want to point out that even the Chazanish, that is only for shiurim that you're giving, and of course there might be an etza too. Okay, to look away and close your eyes, that may not be so good, but you know, you can look at the clock, you know, there are ways, which I'm facing an audience, but I don't have to take off my glasses, that might be so. Or if I'm concentrating, I close my eyes and it looks like, in other words, it's not that I don't want to see you, but it's, you know, I'm concentrating, whatever that could be. In other words, it has to be done in a common sense surah.
Closing your eyes is good enough.
That's for sure. You don't need Eis Lasleis Lashem for that. But in other words, there's a hierarchy here. L'chatchila machshir panav, but atzima seinayim helps. And then even looking down at the sefer helps also. But these are third choice, right? First choice, second choice, third choice. But the Chazanish was machadish that for shiur Torah there may be a heter of Eis Lasleis Lashem. He brings a raya from one of the Rishonim. I think it's Sefer HaEshka that deals with a related problem of Eis Lasleis. I mean, it's not the same problem, but it's the utilization of Eis Lasleis Lashem. This can be a real shaila that happens. Let's say you have a yeshiva, you're learning Torah, and there's a girls' school right next to you, and they're singing real loud. So you have a problem of Kol Isha. So he says, if you don't have another good place to learn, the Sefer HaEshka says, we matter al Eis Lasleis Lashem b'chiyai davna, because you don't have control over the environment. So the Chazanish, again, it's not the same problem. But the Chazanish wanted to apply it to shiurei Torah as well.
But that had to apply to keeping glasses on dafka so you can see the audience and interact with them.
You know, hakoyel lefi ha'inyan v'azman. It's hard to be machria, but what the Chazanish is teaching us is that the concept of sensitivity to their dignity and respect is a factor here, because otherwise you'd be driving them away from Yiddishkeit. Now, listen, I mean, when you're already the Stipler, you're Chaim Konevsky, you know, you can do what you want, because at that point, people will be in such in awe of the Gadol, you know, that, you know, it doesn't affect them the same way. But if you're just a regular Avreich, you know, a regular Kohel guy, you're not looking, you know, people get very put off. Very put off by that, so you don't.
If it's just a question of you're not saying the material, it's a question of looking at someone's not covered up. So is focusing on face, is that an etza?
Yeah, that is an etza. Yeah, yeah.
If it's not, you're seeing it in your peripheral vision.
Yeah. That's a separate issue. If it's not Dvarim Shebekdusha, so then the halacha, in other words, if you're not talking about Dvarim Shebekdusha, then the halacha is that only histaklus is like prolonged staring to get hana, meaning if you just have casual glancing in conversation, that's not nichlal in the
issue. Doesn't Yeshua bring down an opinion that even that is an usur? It's uncovered, like the even if you're not being stakel, you're just ria.
Yeah, but we're not to be megal. We're not to be megal. Again, all of it is because of the effect you'd have on people. You know, that's a relevant factor. That is affected by society. In other words, what do people expect and the like. Okay.
And then just one more question on this.
Yep.
Someone is raised in Mashar, more curious.
Yeah.
He's never seen the married woman with uncovered hair. Would the shulchan's head not apply to him?
That is a very good question, because like this, you know, the Aruch Hashulchan is all that there is, that we're rugil in married women uncovered hair. Well, not everybody is rugil, right? Maybe in America, you know, you're rugil even if you live in New York, and certainly if you live outside, they say out of town, everything out of New York is out of town, and the like. But there are people who are not rugil, right? There are people who grew up in environments where married women cover their hair, or shave their hair even, right? That's so why would the Aruch HaShulchan's Heter apply? So it's a very good aura. It could very well be that it doesn't apply to everybody. But then I saw something from Shlomo Zalman, which I mamish don't understand. He said, even if all the even though he says not to follow the Aruch HaShulchan, but he says according to the Aruch HaShulchan, he says, even if all the married women cover their hair, but we're rugil in Sar Magula because we're rugil bipnuyes. I don't understand. In other words, since there are plenty of single women who have uncovered hair, so hair isn't my... I don't understand. I mean, rugil bipnuyes was in the time of the Gemara too. Now the Gemara said at some point in history, Sar B'isha Erva, if you're telling me, since pnuyes don't cover their hair, so even the suais is not murder here, then according to that swara, why would there ever be Sar B'isha Erva?
In times of Gemara, would they cover their hair?
And they used to braid it.
They used to braid it, okay.
Wait, how do we know it wasn't covered? They lived in the Arab glens. Maybe it was covered.
But that's what the Rishayim said. Okay.
So it's not even an Erva. It's not like we're rugged with an Erva.
Yeah.
It's not even an Erva.
It's not an Erva. That's right.
Well, it makes sense that if you would say, since we're rugged between Goyim,
yeah, he says both. He says we're rugil. You're right. He says we're rugil, begoyim ubip nuyes. That's what he says. Ubip nuyes. Now it could be. Maybe you have a raya. Maybe it's a raya that in the time of the Gemara, pnuyes used to cover their hair too. They used to wear bonnets. In fact, in colonial times, in America, even among goyim, by the way, married women. Yeah, I'm right. Right. Even girls would cover their hair at least with something.
Oh, I bonnet. When she was a summer, went to Suda somewhere here.
Yeah.
And he made all the girls cover their hair.
So, all the single girls? Who was it?
Yeah, I don't know who it was.
I saw family.
Yeah?
Is this really? The guy in Montreal that runs around in Switzerland?
It's not from Belize, though.
Is that
the full cover which you see around here sometimes, like the Arab style. Is
there
any
makar
for that?
There is a makar for this. But again, as I say, the contemporary gedolim are against it. They say it's an undermined shalom bias because the husbands don't. I can't say every husband, but many of the husbands do not want their wives to do that. And it also creates conspicuousness. It draws attention, which is also, in other words, if your kisoy is so out of line with the minhagim, that it's gairim that people are looking at you,
you're not seeing
and
anything.
Staring at you. You're not seeing anything, but you're looking. You know, you're looking. You're focusing, and then a person, whatever. Once you start focusing, you know, whatever a person has machshavas. So they tie that to go totally connected the minog. Now all the pasukim going back to the Rishayim, all the pasukim say, panav yadav raglav can be magulim. All the pasukim say that. So to go and cover panav yadav raglav, at least you know that already is going beyond. There is a makar again. One could argue it's a heater in sneas, right? It's a heater. It's going beyond, but still, Rav Chaim used to say, you know, there are two psukim in Kehelas. One is al titzdak harbe, don't be too much of a tzaddik, and al tirsha harbe, don't be too much of a rasha. So when people used to ask Rav Chaim a shayla about taking on a certain chumrah, so he would say, al titzdak harbe, al tirsha harbe. You know, you got to figure out, you know, what's the right halacha. There is a mila, as there is a say again. Rav Chaim Soloveitchik. Oh yeah, Rav Chaim Kanetsky probably wouldn't say that, but Rav Chaim Soloveitchik, Rav Chaim Brisker. It's interesting. See, things change. When I was in yeshiva, when you said Rav Chaim, you only meant Rav Chaim Soloveitchik. Now you're right. Rav Chaim, Rav Chaim, as Mana says, Rav Chaim from yesterday. Right. Okay. Did I tell you? I think I probably told you this, but it's a nice little story. They came out with a book of all of Rav Chaim Kanievsky's minhagim with a lot of photographs. But all the minhagim, like from beginning of Shulchan Aruch to the end of Shulchan Aruch, like every minhag. How did he do pigeon petra chamor? How does he do it? He does all the agricultural mitzvahs. Pigeon petra chamor and reishis hagez, how he does all of these mitzvahs and the like. But they have a little shtickle about Hilchos Talmud Torah, obviously, what he learns every year. He makes his annual siyum on Bavli, Yerushalmi, Rambam, Negrish Rabbah, and Zohar. And Zohar, he does Zohar every year.
And Shulchan Aruch.
Plus Mishnah Brura, and then Shulchan Aruch generally. This is besides his Ian. In other words, this he does in like 5 or 6 hours. And then he spends the rest of the time in Ian and writing Svarim and answering Shilas. How does he do? No, he writes every day. He actually writes every day. He writes every day. He spends several hours every day trying to write. I don't know. People come and see him, but you see. So once you think twice, I want to go to Rav Chaim. And when you realize what amounts of time you're taking away. But the story goes that a father brought a son for a bechina to Rav Chaim. Bechina. He said, my son learns Maseches Megillah, wants a bechina. Now, Rav Chaim gives very easy tests. I know this. He doesn't, because sometimes Or Sameach guys go to Rav Chaim. They bring him from JLE or whatever. And Rav Chaim asks very easy questions. He's not like a trick. He's not a trick question person. So he asked the boy, "Do you know the Maseches?" The boy said, "Yeah, I hope I know the Maseches." So he asked him, "Who made the final letters?" Right, the Daf Beis Amud Aleph. The final letters came from the Nevi'im. We go into Shakal Bataria, it was given to Moshe, and then it was forgotten. Yeah, right. So he just asked the boy, who did the final letters? So like the boy didn't know. All right, Daf Beis Amud Aleph already, he didn't know. So Rav Chaim said right away, because there's a parallel sugi in Maseches Shabbos, the din of Menatzbach Sefer Mam. So Rav Chaim said, I got mixed up. I forgot. I was thinking of Maseches Shabbos. The Imam says that Nisba Balti, he says. He says, and he actually apologized to the Bachar for asking him something from the wrong Masechta. That's really very, 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 very nice. It's Mamash, you see, that's an Adam Gadol, in order not to embarrass the kids, just said he made a mistake. Okay. They say, but. Yeah,
amazing.
Yeah, it is a very nice story. Just a kind of a lesson in Derech Eretz. But okay. All right. Anyway, so I want to talk a little bit about two other aspects, or three other aspects of Tznius. And I really just want to bring out some what you might call inconsistencies or stiras between the three, because the three don't always match up the same way. And that is the dinim of yichud, the dinim of chibuk v'nishuk, and the dinim of kol isha. Now, remember, kol isha, similar to hair and levush, has two components. There is an arachayim issue that I'm not allowed to daven keneged kol isha, and then there's the Evan Ezer issue that kol isha is considered to be a prohibited erva. But let's first talk a little bit about Chibuk V'Nishuk. In Chibuk V'Nishuk, this is very important, or we call Nagia, or in the modern Orthodox world, the way they like to describe it is, and if you ever heard the expression, are you a shomer? That's what they like to say. Shomer Nagia. Well, I'm not a shomer, right? That's kind of a lesson. A sprach that they use in the NCSY world and the like. But here, the basic idea you need to know is there's a very, very, very important machlokes rishonim between the Ramban and the Rambam. If chibuk v'nishuk mamash, I'm not talking about shaking hands, I'm talking about literally hugging and kissing a forbidden erva, is that an isur d'oraisa? The Rambam says, right, the Rambam says in Hilchos Yisurei Bia that any woman that is an erva to you, to be mechabek and menashe, to hug or to kiss, a woman that is an erevah to you is an iser d'iraisa, because we learn it from the pasuk by Nida, lo sikrevu legalais erva. And since the Torah didn't just say, like it says by the other arayas, lo segala erva, but it says lo sikrevu legalais erva, so the shita sarambam is that any type of kirva, any type of physical contact that normally leads a person to sexual activity, even if it doesn't lead to that, even if it doesn't, the Rambam says that's called chibuk v'nishik. So it doesn't say stam begiyah. We'll see chibuk v'nishik. Zok the Rambam, that is an iser d'araisa by all arayas, and in ad kedei kach, the Rambam says you will get malchus for it. If Adam tell you don't hug your wife that's a nida, you will get malchus for hugging your wife that is a nida. Halt the Rambam, it is an iser min ha-tayra, and even though it's written by Nida, the Rambam says lav dafka Nida, because all of the arayas are hukshu. All the arayas are compared to each other, so it applies to everything. That is the shitas ha-Rambam. The Ramban in the Sefer HaMitzvahs is chaylek on the Rambam, and the Ramban says anything short of bia mamish. Yeah, bia, of course, is the iser d'araisa. Anything short of bia mamish is only an iser d'rabbanan. It's a harchaka that the chachamim said, thou shalt not do chibuk v'nishuk, lest it come lidei bia, but it is not an iser d'araisa. Now, the paiskim say in Eben Ezer that chibuk v'nishuk is lav dafka chibuk and nishuk. Chibuk means hugging and nishuk means kissing. But it refers, in a more general sense, to what is called negia shel chiba. So negia shel chiba is touching that expresses affection and care. So, for example, holding hands romantically. Now, again, the Rama brings down as a hanhaga, but that's not it's not an iser. The Raisa, that even a husband and wife should not hold hands in public. Okay, that's a separate issue. But we're talking now with an erva. I'm not talking about chumras that we have in the hanhug of a husband and a wife. But the Paiskim say that according to the Rambam, if you hold hands with an erva, that includes your wife when she's a nida, that's an iser d'araisa. According to Ramban, it's a drabanim. Now, there is a machlokes ha-paiskim. What is the status of a negiya that's not shel chiba? Okay, negiya shel chiba, like the Rambam is an iser d'araisa, like the Ramban is an iser d'rabbanan. Okay, that's for sure. Lav dafka chiba k'nishik. But what is the din of negiya not shel chiba? So for sure, it's not a doraisa, absolutely. There is no shita that says negiya she'ena shel chiba is the araisa, but there is a machlokes if it's drabana. Now, one nafkamina would be this. Actually, not a nafkamina, but for example, the halacha is that a male doctor is allowed to treat a female patient, and vice versa, even. Although it is better to avoid it, but it is, either way, it's better to avoid it. But a female doctor can treat a male patient, and that's muskim like everybody. But the question is, what is the reason? Now, it's a davar pashut that whatever negiya there is in a medical context is a negiya that's not chiba. So some learn that the heter is negiya not shel chiba is mutter to even drabanan. Others say no. B'emesin, a negiya not shel chiba would be usher midrabanan. But with a doctor, we have a swara of uman torud biumnase. That means that a stam negiya not shel chiba take is usher midrabanan. But when it's your professional activity, you're torud in what you're doing, and therefore it will not lead to. Right? In other words, so everybody's mited to the heter. But the machlokes is the heter because it's negiya she'eino shel chiba, or is it because of umen torah biyumnase? Now we know that Rav Moshe has a famous tshuva about traveling on buses and on subways, where you, you know, bump into people, or you're sometimes crushed with people and the like. And Rav Moshe Tainas like the shitas that say Nigiyah She'eino Shel Chibas Mutter, then it's going to be Mutter anyway. And then he says, even like the shitas that say Nigiyah She'eino Shel Chibas Asher Midrabanan, but this is Eino Mischaving. This is, you're not intention, and even though it's a psigration, but on this we don't. In other words, when it's unintentional, the bumping and the like, so Rav Moshe says it's Mutter L'chul Yalma, because even the Machmirim on Negiyah She'eino Shel Chibah intentionally are not going to Aser unintentional. So Rav Moshe held that there actually was no problem with buses and subways, and Rav Moshe seems to indicate even to sit down next to a woman is not necessarily a problem, although a Ben Torah should not L'chatchila sit next to a woman, but Mi'ikar HaDin, he says, it would qualify as Negiyah She'eino Shel Chibah. Yeah.
If they sit down and you're...
Yeah, so let me tell you two stories. One is a story about Shlomo Zalman. This is also a very, very nice story. That, you know, Shlomo Zalman, who's lived, of course, in Shari Chesed, and he was Rosh Hashiva in Kol Torah, which is in Bayit Began. So, you know, pretty. Later on in his life, he had a driver that would take him back and forth. But for many years, Shlomo Zalman just took a bus from wherever, I don't know what bus you take, what bus is Shari Chesed, but whatever. It was two buses, actually. Two, you know, he took a bus, then he got to 39, and he went to Bayit Began and the like. So the story goes, he was sitting on a seat, and a woman actually came and sat down next to him. She probably didn't know who he was, or whatever it is. So he just told her, he says, excuse me, he says, I have to get off at the next stop. And he got off at the next stop, even though that was a half a mile from his house. I don't know if he waited for another bus or he walked. Now, look at the Luyishkeit of the sensitivity of this. On one hand, he didn't want to sit next to a woman. Now, he could have done two things. If he would be the type of coarse kanoi that we have today, he would say, get off the seat. If he would be worse, he would push her off the seat. I wonder why that's not l'chala pachas negiyah, not shel chibah. I mean, okay. It's not shel chibah, but okay. All right. Now, if he would be a more refined person, he would just get up. But what does that mean? But then she would be embarrassed. Then she would feel, oh, you know, I'm not good enough to be, to, you know, to have somebody sit with me. So he didn't even do that. He didn't even get up and stand. What he did was, he said, I have to get off the bus. And that way, she'd have no negative feeling at all. No hurt feeling at all. So you see, this is an Adam Gadol. An Adam Gadol, on one hand, he could have been Makel and could have said, I'll sit. Now, on one hand, he didn't want to be Makel in this at all. He didn't want to sit there. On the other hand, his chumrah would not be done in a way that would cause her any embarrassment for Agmas Nefesh. So for an Adam Gadol, you know, you're not mechalik between the Bein Adam Lamakam and the Bein Adam Lechaveiro. You look at both of them as important, and you find an Eitzah that's Mekayim both at the expense of your own Tircha. Either he walked an extra half a mile, or he had to wait a half an hour for a bus, or whatever it is. He just says he has to get off, you know, and the like. So this is something to remember. Now, a second mice, I'll tell you.
Bigger than me, what are we passing like?
Rav Moshe himself is not machriya, but we seem to the most poskim saying the Gish Ainu Shel Chibah is Asher Midrabanan, unless you have another svar of Umin Torah Diyum Nothing.
Passing change from one to the other. Well,
change in the grocery store falls under the rule of the bus or the subway, because you're not mechavin to. When I put change in a woman's hands, I'm not supposed to be mechavin to touch her. If I accidentally touch her, that'll be nichlal in Rav Moshe's heter of the bus and the subway. So you're not allowed to deliberately touch, right? Okay. Now, in other words, Rav Moshe's point is that even if you hold Negiyah Shel Chibah is Asur Midrabanan, if it's unintentional, even though it's likely to happen, he says that's not nichlal in the Drabanan either. So that would apply to the change, change as well.
Who says that there's no Asur?
I have to remember. In other words, it's a machlekes the Beis Shmuel and the Chalkes machlekes. But I have to go back and check. If you look in Simen Chafav and Evan Ezer, you'll see the different shitas. Now I'll tell you a second story with Rav Moshe. That is, this is a very odd story. It's a very amazing story, but it's a very odd story. Because this was something written by a man who's a very prominent psychiatrist in the Orthodox community in New York. He's a, I don't remember his name, but he's a psychiatrist. And he tells a story that happened to him 50 years ago. And he says that he grew up as a frum boy. He was a frum boy. His parents were religious. But he had an uncle and an aunt who were not religious. His uncle was a physician, and his aunt was a nurse. And his uncle and aunt were the camp doctors for one of the religious camps. I don't know if it was Camp Aguda or something else. In others, they were there. You know, they would have a cottage. They would be there. They would take care of the patients. And Rav Moshe used to visit the camp for a few days every summer, etc. So one day, the boy was 9 years old. The psychiatrist was 9 years old. He gets a call from his aunt that says, "Hey, you know, Yitzi, would you like to meet Rav Moshe Feinstein, big rabbi?" So Yitzi had heard about Rav Moshe Feinstein. He said, "Wow, yeah, so excited." He says, "Okay, so you come to the camp that day, come to the doctor's office, where your uncle is the doctor, and Rabbi Feinstein is coming in for a checkup, and I'll introduce you to Rabbi Feinstein. You know, we're good friends. We talk to him all the time." So Yitzi gets so excited, he says he put on his best suit and ties in the middle of the summer, but you know, he dresses up, you know, I don't know if he had a hat or not, and he comes. And he sees his aunt was really very, very freewheeling. I mean, she was not, you know, she was sleeveless. I mean, you know, she was not dressed properly. So already, the kid is 9 years old, and he's already very chagrined. How can my aunt dress this way? Rabbi Feinstein is coming, whatever it is. So Rav Moshe comes in, and everybody says hello, and they're happy to see him. And, you know, they know him from different years, and he's very nice. And then the kid says, and I see my aunt coming closer and closer to him. And I can't believe what's happening. I'm frozen. He's 9 years old. I can't believe what's happening. What is happening here? And she opens her arms, and the kid thinks he's going to faint, like the ground is going to open. And she hugs Rav Moshe Feinstein, and she says, "So good to see you, Rabbi. Good to see you." And Rav Feinstein, standing still, but he doesn't put, you know. And the boy goes over to Rav Moshe afterwards and says, "Rabbi, I'm so embarrassed. You know, she's not religious. You know, he's 9 year old." And Rabbi Feinstein puts his finger to his lip and he says, "She was a Holocaust survivor. You don't say anything. Fancy, she survived the Holocaust." This is again. I don't know. I don't have full. I mean, I see the godless of the story, but I don't have full pshat in the story. But Rav Moshe felt that since Mitzidai, he was doing nothing. Mitzidai, he was doing nothing. So Mamela, he held, it was Mitzidai, a Negia, not Shelchiba. Even though Mitzidai, it was a Negia Shelchiba. I'm trying to reconstruct. And since Rav Moshe's Machriya, that at worst, Negia She'eno Shelchiba is only an Isur Drabanan, Isurei Drabanan are Nitche, because of Kavod Abriya. Wow. Now, the question becomes this. The question becomes, though, again, Maisha...
She's
doing
Isura.
Huh?
She's doing Isura.
Because her thing is Vare Negia Shel Chiba. Chiba doesn't... is loved after Chiba Spia, if it's to express affection and love. Like, for Shem Isura, yeah. But again, she wouldn't be Makabel Teichecha. I mean, she might stop this one, but it wouldn't, you know. So it's Mutif Shiyu Shagin while you may see it, and you have Cheshbainis. And in Isur Drabanan and Yuvada, I say, "Motif Yushagin Val Yumezinan." Right? So there are Cheshbon. Now, there is another possible. That's one. I'm trying to reconstruct. That's one mahalach. Another possible mahalach might be the Gemara in Kesuvos that says that certain Amayrayim would carry the Kala on their shoulders, and they said, "She's like a goose to me. I have no hirhurim," meaning azan negiya shalchiba, where you mamish have no negiya not shalchiba, that you have mamish no taiva. Now the Rishonim already say that was nimshur l'gedaylim, and we don't have rishos, but it could be maybe Rav Moshe held Bitsirav Kavod Abriyos, he was Samech on that. Now the reason why, again, I don't want to bring a rye from a mice, I mean this is a guy telling over a story many, many years later, you know, who knows if all the details are even emes, you can't paskin from Meisen at all. But it's nogeya this issue, you know, a guy comes home and his aunt wants to hug him, etc. Is there, it's a din that you have to talk to a paisik about, is there a tzad, now a vada for him to embrace? That wouldn't be much, although I'll mention with an aunt there might be a hadubah, but generally speaking, you know, we wouldn't matir negiya shochiba with active embrace. But the question is, if you're passively embraced, are you allowed to let it happen, or do you have to jump away? And is there something special about a Holocaust survivor, which is another factor of Kavod Abriyos that goes in? So the point basically is, it's a more complicated situation than you would otherwise think. But at least once again, it is important to see that Kavod Abriyos is a shekel here. Okay, now this gives rise to the next question, and that is shaking hands, right? A big inyan. You're in a work environment or whatever it is, and people shake hands. Can I shake hands with a woman that has the din of an erva, right? Even a every woman, let's say a Jewish woman, let's say chalapachas, is a din nida if she's not from or she's single. So here you need to know that the minog in Germany, the minog of German rabbanim, was to shake hands with women, and their svara was that they regarded shaking hands as not a negiya of chiba, as holding hands is not the same as shaking hands. And therefore, it's a negiya, not shalchiba, so I'm not sure either they held, like the Paiskim, that it's mucho legamri, or they held that even if it's asher derabanan, isuri derabanan are nitche for Kavod Abriyos. Now here, you need to know that Rav Meisha, as well as most Paiskim, are very machmer on this. Rav Meisha, as well as other Paiskim, actually say no, because they actually taina that shaking hands, even in a business context, is actually negiya shalchiba. Because negiya shalchiba is lav dafka romance. After all, when the woman hugged Rav Meisha, there was not romantic. But negiya shalchiba is a negiya that is designed to express friendship and connection. So even stam shaking hands is an expression of friendship and connection. Good, it's not romantic, it's not sexual, but chiba can also include reyus and the like. So according to that, therefore, Kavod Abriyos is not going to be like the Rambam. It certainly could not be mutter, because according to the Rambam, shaking hands might be an iser d'oraisa if you reckon it negiya shel chiba. Like the Ramban, it would be a borer iser d'rabbanan. So here is the din. Now you may have heard. So Rav Meisha was against that. And in fact, Rav Meisha was not mechalik between whether she put her hand out first or you initiate. He says, can't do it. However, so we have like this. So the minhag of the German Rabbanim was, it's even mutter to stick out your hand. The minhag of a Rav Meisha's psak is, you know, you don't take the hand even if it's extended and you think of something, although I've seen some bizarre solutions. How do you avoid hurting feelings? You cough into your hand, you sneeze. Okay, some of it seems a little muddy to me. But okay.
Hold two glasses.
Yeah, do something. Now, you may have seen that some Meirei Hara, although I didn't see a tshuva that says it's befeirish, some Meirei Hara in America, not so much in Eretz Yisrael, are mechalek between who initiated, meaning you're not allowed to initiate by, my wrong hand here, you're not allowed to initiate by sticking out your right hand, but if they stick out a hand first, you're allowed to take it. And once again, their lumdus would be the following. They actually have a getter of a sfeika. The first suffix is, maybe it's not negiya shalchiba. In other words, it's not, it's only business. And Sveitans, even if it is Negiya Shel Chiba, maybe the halacha is like the Ramban, that's an, it's an Isser de Rabbanan. And if she puts out her hand and you don't take it, there may be humiliation. And remember that Isuri de Rabbanan are Nitzchah for Kavod Abrias. Le'idach Kisa, however, I have to say that there is a tzad that it is an Isser de Araisa. If you call it Negiya Shel Chiba and you go like the Rambam, and the, okay. So, be it as it may, there are different anhagas. Obviously, it is much better for you, even to find some way not to take it. But there is a makam, there is a makam, there is a swara mundus to permit it. Yeah.
I don't know, when I was becoming more religious, I was told to not embarrass anyone and, you know, take their hand.
If they extended it first.
Yeah. But then when I. Yeah. As time gone on, people were telling me, you know, what Rabbanim were telling me, you know, you just got to be honest and frank with people and say, I don't shake hands.
Right. The truth of the matter is that we sometimes make a Kavod Abrios issue when it's Lav Dafka Kavod Abrios issue, meaning to say, if a person explains, it doesn't necessarily offend. In fact, I think that was with even Queen Elizabeth. There was some recent story. A frum guy, like a Haredi guy, not that the chief rabbis usually are not so Haredi, so they'll shake the queen's hand. But this was like a real Haredi fellow, was either knighted or was getting an award from the queen. And she stuck out her hand, and before he even did anything, she said, "Oh, I apologize, I forgot for a moment." Like the queen withdrew her head, because apparently her protocol people told her, they don't shake hands, and... she just forgot. Now, the whole queen's job is to remember all of these details. That's exactly, you know. So the emes is this idea that if you don't take the hand, they're going to be crushed and humiliated and embarrassed. It doesn't have to be that way. If a person is honest and polite, usually it'll work out.
I don't boast in the Shia, but I had a friend who was a student rabbi in England, and he was a very firm guy. He was the son of Dan Rappaport. In London. And the way it worked, there were two student rabbis in this area, and one of them was a Lubavitcher.
Right.
And the students who actually employed the rabbis were having a meeting. One of the students was a big feminist.
Yes.
And she says, "How can I have a rabbi like this Chabadster when he won't even shake hands with me?"
Yeah.
And the chairman, who was a male, says, "That's ridiculous, no one does that anymore." And she says, "It's true, you want to shake hands with me?"
Yeah.
So the chairman turns around to the other rabbi and says, "Tell her it's ridiculous. And nobody refuses to shake hands with women." And he says, "Well, actually, I don't shake hands with women either."
Right.
And she says, "That's not true. You all shake hands with me." He says, "Tell me one time when I did." And he never had, and it had never been an issue.
Because they had a decent relationship, Now I'll tell you, on YouTube there is a little video, not that you should see YouTube, but I came across it by accident. But there was a little video from the 1920s, when Winston Churchill, he was not prime minister yet, he was the head of the colonial office, and he was visiting Palestine, and there was a big reception. And Rav Yosef Chaim Zonnenfeld came to the reception with Rav Kook. And they're walking side by side. And they're walking by a reception line. And Lady Churchill sticks out her hand. And Rav Kook, is Kimisha Nashre Nacha. And Rav Yosef Chaim Zonnenfeld, circled around. And he gave Rav Kook this grin, like he was smiling at him. It was really very funny. But the one thing I can tell you is, Rav Kook did not take her hand. So that much, we have video evidence of that. Okay.